Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG. It's Felger and Maz. 95 The Sports Hub.
All right, it is Felger and Maz on Christmas Eve, and not surprisingly, no Felger, no Maz, no Murray. So you get me, Matt McCarthy, got Ted Johnson alongside Brendan Glasheen on Sports Hub Headlines, and the big boy is in because it's a Tuesday, doesn't matter the holiday. This is the hardest working man in print media, radio, Greg Bedardi, is sponsored by Jarvis Ford. As John and Michael Jarvis like to say, honesty, integrity, and family, it's not just how we do business, it's who we are. Jarvis Ford, just off Route 2 in Ayer. I know that pleasantries would not be allowed on this program, but I would say to this, either Felger can A, suck it, or B, work today. So, Merry Christmas, guys.
Hey, Merry Christmas to
Merry
you,
Christmas.
Matt. Great.
Merry Christmas.
Good to see you, boys.
Yes, we're going to get into a lot of Patriots today, of course. Greg will be with us for the next 2 hours.
Love it.
Later on, we can reset some of our Pat's thoughts, get into some Gordon Hayward news today as well. The Bruins and that interesting game, to say the least, last night against the Capitals. A lot of physicality there. Could the Bruins respond to that? And if you'll give me 2 minutes later on in the program, we need to address my Boston Red Sox. But Greg is here. So let me ask you,
why is this a big surprise? It's Tuesday in the football season. Well, when you cover the NFL, Ted knows from playing, it's the same thing as the... There's no holidays.
That's true.
1 year when I covered the Packers, I worked Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's Eve. They had, I think the Packers had a game that night. Like, it's just a regular Tuesday.
Yeah,
here we go.
You're a big-time media star, and so we just figured, you know, Christmas Eve, you wouldn't be here. At least I did, so I was pleasantly surprised to see you and with your beautiful kids here today, so... It's good we have you.
I got the Rugrats with me.
Very cool.
All right, so let me pose this question to both of you here. And again, 617-779-0985. Mason Souza is a flying solo back there. He can release the hounds, as somebody would say. Let me pose this question to you guys. After watching the way that things went down on Saturday, should we buy in on the Patriots, and specifically should we buy in on this offense? Either one of you can open this up.
I'll let Ted go first because... Let's just admit things. Ted knocked it out of the park last year when he was like the only guy that took week 16 and 17 and say, I saw some good things. I think it's a good sign for the Patriots and their Super Bowl prospects. So I would like to hear what Ted has to say first.
It's funny. I felt stronger about that last year as far as them kind of, you know, flipping the proverbial switch, if you will, than maybe this year. Look, I mean, they needed something to kind of hang their hat on. At least what can you count on consistently with this offense? And last year they had the running game. And it wasn't until week 16 and 17, week 17 in particular against the Jets, that I thought the passing game really kind of figured it out. It was the most efficient I think Tom had been all year. It was the highest quarterback rating. He passed to multiple five receivers with four or more catches in last year's Week 17 game. So it just, you know, that's when this offense is at its best. When the ball's coming out fast, it's distributed to a lot of guys and not just counting on one or two guys like they did last year. So, you know, you saw that in this game against the Buffalo Bills. Seven receivers with multiple catches, ball coming out fast. There was a timing and rhythm. It was just as good as it's been all season long. And then the running game was obviously a weapon. So I like to think that they have kind of figured it out. I am a little bit maybe more nervous about this offense consistently doing it week in, week out from here on in, just because there's some youth. There's young guys, I mean, rookies that you're going to have to lean on, I think, to be, you know, efficient and to kind of be able to execute this offense like the way you want it. Is N'Keal Harry, you know, he's getting hit that rookie wall. Is Jacoby Myers going to hit that rookie wall? These are two guys that you're going to have to count on if your offense is going to figure it out. Is Alandon Roberts the answer to James Devlin in the running game? It looked like he might have been in this last game. So I am optimistic that they have maybe figured it out and can continue this the way they played this past game the rest of the season. But I'm not as confident. So I am – the defense is my keister, if you will, a little bit. I'm kind of straddling that, if you will. I feel really good about this performance, you know, better late than never. And a lot of times, you know, when an offense goes out and does what they did, like they did, the Patriots did, there's a collective confidence. They feel like, you know what, okay, this is what we're capable of. And so more times than not, the Patriots continue that trend. There's just a feeling that I'm not so sure because of some of the younger guys in this offense that they're relying on.
I agree with Ted. There were certainly good things to take away with the offense in this game. But I understand, and I might be able to provide you some answers on why you maybe don't feel the same way, is because I thought this game, when I watched it back, I thought this was a Josh McDaniels game. I thought he schemed the crap out of this game. I thought that he knew exactly. He took, you know, when you look at the Bills, what did we say going in? And first of all, I don't think many people thought the Patriots were going to lose that game on Sunday. So are we really all that excited about them squeaking out a game where if Josh Allen just makes a couple more plays, the Patriots probably lose that game? So that's number one. But number two, you know, everything that they did in this game, it was like Josh McDaniels basically sat back and said, okay, what do we know about this Bills defense? We know they're extremely disciplined, and we know they do what they do, basically. And so it was like McDaniels took that and used it against him, where he said, all right, well, what's the one weakness on this defense? And I've long thought this with this Bills defense, is Tremaine Edmonds, the middle linebacker, might be a very physical guy. He's very fast. He's long. He's big. There's a lot you like about him. But he's not the smartest player on the field, and he's also hyper-aggressive. And if you look at the plays that the Patriots, whether it was Alandon Roberts' lead runs, whether it was like that screen pass to Burkhead, it was like McDaniels knew exactly the way Edmonds was going to react. He was not going to stay with Burkhead down the sideline. And they targeted him time after time in big spots. And at the end of the day, it was better. There's no question. The execution was better on the offensive side. That's what you want to see. I thought Brady was great in this game. And if you put together with actually the second half from last week and this game, he's played, what's that now, six straight quarters, in my opinion, of very good football. So that's a very good sign. But at the end of the day, they only had really like four explosive plays in this game. So they're scheming. This is a tough way to live. And I think that's what you're getting at as far as, you know, last year you could say, okay, we have Gronkowski to take coverage and do this and that. And it's just, even in this game, you're just like, do they have enough at the end of the day against the teams that can actually, against the quarterbacks that can actually make plays and put points on the board and things like that?
But this would be my point, Greg. Do they need explosive plays? Does this team...
You always do.
Okay, but do they need explosive plays maybe the way they would have needed explosive plays 3 or 4 years ago? Because they're built to win on defense, and they can win the game by running the ball, controlling the clock. You know, yeah, sure, dinking and dunking down the field. I thought the best drive that they had ended in 3 points. It was the field goal drive that started on the one. You know, the 17-play drive, and sure, it stalls out, but there's an example of, hey, a field goal drive is great. They can win playing that way, and I think they proved that to me on Saturday, which is why I'm so high on the Patriots after this game. That is a good defense, and they proved that they were able to move the ball between the 20s, and they can win kicking field goals. They can, because they're good enough defensively.
That's the ultimate $10 million question. You know, do they have enough with their formula, defense, the stuff they're doing on special teams, especially lately with Justin Bethel and Matthew Slater? Can the offense do just enough? And it may very well be true. I have a tough time seeing against a more effective Patrick Mahomes. I did not think he played well in the first matchup. And against the Ravens, do you have enough against those two teams? That's the big question. I don't know. Maybe they do. I'm not ready to say they don't, but that's a tough way to live the way they're playing offensively.
Greg, if you had to, the two teams you just mentioned, the Chiefs and the Ravens, it's kind of what we're anticipating the Patriots having to face, maybe in the division round, the Chiefs, and then ultimately the Ravens in the AFC Championship game. If they win those games in the wild card week in the Chiefs, and then, you know, in the division round for the Baltimore Ravens, we figure that that's going to be the matchup for the Patriots. Do you think this formula of basically death by a thousand paper cuts, dink and dunk down the field, keep the ball out of the hands of the opposing team's quarterback, kill the, you know, you own the time of possession, don't you think that's kind of the formula for success for the Patriots against at least those two teams in the playoffs?
I mean, it has to be, but you know, you're hoping the Patriots are the Ravens with Trent Dilfer at quarterback. I mean, basically, I mean, the
isn't that a little strong, though?
I mean, that's
a little strong there, Greg.
Yeah, but they also had Jamal Lewis in the backfield, and like, you know, they had players on offense, and Trent Dilfer, I'm not saying Tom Brady is Trent Dilfer or anything, but like, that's what you're talking about. That's the formula. I mean, it's play great defense, get enough plays, take care of the ball offensively. That's, you're basically asking Tom Brady to be sort of Trent Dilfer in that year for the Ravens.
Yeah, and that comes across a little strong to me because I feel like the 2000 Baltimore Ravens are not the only example of teams winning on defense. Ted, you know it better than anybody else. You guys won three Super Bowls on defense, you know, in 01, 03, and 04, and that, you know, 04 Brady was really starting to turn into the player that he's become now. You did it then. I mean, the Broncos did it a few years ago with Peyton Manning. Brady's way better than Peyton Manning was at the end. I think they have enough, and that's my takeaway from this game. They showed me that there's a formula and there's a path. Now, that's not a guarantee, all right? I think Baltimore's really good, and the road to the Super Bowl is going to be tough. Kansas City, you know, at home is going to be a tough game. Baltimore on the road is going to be a tough game. But you can't put it this way. If they lose that game and the offense looked like crap again and they have to go on the road,
no chance.
To Kansas City and to Baltimore, no chance. But the way that they played, and you know, picking up the win is obviously huge from the playoff seeding implications. I come out of Saturday saying there's a chance. They've got a fighter's chance. They've got as good a chance as anybody because, you know what?
Wait, it looks like. It's a big difference between a fighter's chance, a puncher's chance, and a chance as good as anybody.
Okay.
You think they have as good a chance as, say, the Chiefs and the Ravens right now?
I say they have as good a chance as the Chiefs, absolutely. Again, because this game's being played
that's
at home,
fair.
And that's and the Ravens, maybe that game's slightly more. I mean, what is it, 60-40? There isn't a big gap. There's not, all right? And listen, the Ravens are clearly the best team in the conference right now, but you can't tell me that there's a huge gap between the Patriots and the Ravens. They've got a chance in that game.
Sure.
Absolutely. So that's what I take away from Saturday night.
If the offense plays like it did, minus the turnovers, I mean, the turnover on downs and then the fumble, then I think you have a chance. I agree with you guys. I think Baltimore's clearly the best team in the AFC. It really is. And even though you've already played them once, so you kind of know what to expect, it's such a unique scheme. It's just something you just don't see very often, that type of offense, that I just think it will still give this defense for the Patriots fits.
That and their defense is really good.
And their defense is much improved.
Yes.
I mean, Marcus Peters coming over in the trade has really kind of helped that secondary out. They're playing with more confidence. So I just think that's a game where I clearly would favor at this point, even with the Patriots offense, the way it played against Buffalo, still has, to me, has the advantage against the Patriots just because of how unique that offense is.
I don't disagree for one second, but I'm just saying I feel significantly better about the Patriots given the way they played on Saturday night. And I think if anybody doesn't feel better about this team, I don't really know what to tell you.
Yeah, I mean, you wanted to see a heartbeat. You wanted to see, you know, something out of the offense, and you got that. But, I mean, I still sometimes come back to the fact of, all right, this was Josh Allen and the Bills. Like, I mean, should we be celebrating that much of a victory over that kind of team? I mean, did anybody really think that they were going to lose that game?
I think a lot of people felt like there was a chance they were going to lose that game.
They're idiots then.
No, let me ask you this. Are the Bills going to go into Houston in a few weeks and beat the Texans in that game?
Is Will Fuller going to play? And is he going to be full strength? You can tell me that and I'll tell you whether the Texans are going
to. All right, let's say Will Fuller plays. Let's say, for the sake of discussion,
no.
And I know we're up against it.
Man,
Ted,
that's a tough one.
It's definitely a toss-up game, but I mean, everybody knew the Bills were one of the worst teams, you know, on paper. They didn't live up to their record. Everybody knew that.
And you lost the Texans. So, I think you're discrediting the Buffalo Bills here, Greg. I'm not going to stand for this. I'm not going
to stand up for Bills Mafia.
Yeah, I'm going to stand up. I've spent some time in Central New York. I'm going to stand up for the fine people of Central and Western New York. All right, we're off and running. 617-779-0985. Brendan, Chris, Matt, Strider, I see you on the line. We're going to get to you in a few seconds. But why should we feel so good about the Patriots? You mentioned there's a heartbeat, Greg. That heartbeat came from number 12 on Saturday night. Let's get into that next. It's Matt McCarthy, Ted Johnson. We got the big boy here with us, Greg Bedard, on Christmas Eve. Back in a minute.
Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Yes!
No!
Yes!
No!
Yes!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Patriots line up on the eye. Roberts, the fullback for Michelle. Brady under center with Edelman split right. Lacoste motions to the right. Sanu, meanwhile, split left. Edelman steps back. Brady takes the snap. Play fake to Michelle. Tom pumps. He throws it to the end zone. Caught by Edelman! Yeah! Two-point conversion! The Patriots expand their lead.
The quarterback is on fire, man. If this isn't a quintessential veteran dropping his nuts type game by your quarterback, then I don't know what is. Brady's on fire today. He's in command. He's reading the blitz. He's stepping up. He's calm. And he is as accurate as he has been.
You want the reason to feel good about the Patriots? The primary reason. After Saturday night against the Bills, I've got two words for you. Tom Brady. Guys, he looked like Tom Brady. They protected him. He looked comfortable. No problems with the elbow. Accurate, efficient, and when they needed it the most. I mean, that was a classic Patriots-Tom Brady drive there at the end of the game. The touchdown, Burkhead ran it in. They get the two-point conversion. Great play fake from Brady. Comfortable in the pocket all night long. I mean, he looked like himself for the first time this year. And it's Matt McCarthy, Ted Johnson. We've got Greg Bedard alongside Brendan Glasheen on Sports Hub Headlines. 617-779-0985 on this Christmas Eve. It looked like he had conviction. For the first time this season in what the Patriots were doing offensively. And that's why I feel so strongly that Saturday was a major step in the right direction, most importantly because of Tom Brady and the confidence and the conviction that was oozing off the television screen from number 12.
What do you think that is, Greg? Because, I mean, it's like, did he just decide to trust his guys? Did he just decide that he's going to change his attitude? Because, I mean, it looked like you go, okay, so Tom, just from the very beginning, he looked like he was invested in this game. It looked like he was fired up. And obviously there was a lot on the line, considering you got the number two seed of the division on the line. It's a home game. It has a playoff feel, all that. So maybe you factor that in. But I feel like maybe there was a discussion between him and Bill Belichick this week. You know, like, hey, Tom, can we figure this thing out? Tom, can we put – you know, can we just put the kind of the attitude aside here? Can we buy in? We have 2 weeks left in the season. We have everything that we could still achieve together in front of us. Can we just decide to trust these guys and buy in? And then just let's see how it goes. I just feel like there maybe could have been a conversation like that because, you know, I don't think it's any surprise that the offense looked as good as it has all year. And then Tom was also positive, you know, had the right mindset, was encouraging, and was ready to go. And so I think there could have been a discussion like that where if Tom just decides to, you know, have the right attitude and the right mindset, then the offense can maybe look like that. What do you think about that?
I mean, I think that's entirely possible. I mean, Bill doesn't usually have those types of conversations during the season, but maybe, you know, maybe McDaniels and Brady had that type of conversation. I do think in this game, you know, I think they just, when it came down to it, they just executed better. And, you know, now we're in week 16. This is the type of execution that we usually get at the midway point. And also, I think that Brady, you know, when you go against the Bills, they might be good and they might be fast and they might be disciplined, but largely you know what you're going to get if you do X. If you're in this formation and you go in motion, you know what you're going to get out of McDermott's defense. I mean, it's tried and true, and it's been around. And, you know, I'm trying to answer the question in my own mind, like, well, why didn't they execute like this in Buffalo? And I just think it's the difference between execution. I just, you know, whether it was the offensive line, you know, struggles and the pass game, the receivers not doing the right things and not really being successful on the ground, I think that's really where it starts. And when you watch this offense, when it comes to Brady and the offense as a whole, when they just execute, when you block properly, when you catch the ball, when you know, you don't give up a lot of negative plays, when you do that, you know, they look pretty good. And they just had a ton of problems doing that all season. It's finally coming to the point now where they're executing better. And I think that's where it starts.
What I took away from this game, guys, is that, sure, Brady he's not blameless in with the offense's struggles this year, but it's not on him. I mean, really,
no,
ultimately,
totally
it's not on him. And seeing the offensive line play the way that they did on Saturday night, that was by far easily the best they've played all year. And Greg, you know, let me know if I'm wrong on this. I know you break down the all 22, you're breaking down the offensive linemen, all that. They were good. They were good in this game, and that's really the first time I could say all year. There were some stretches in the Dallas game where they were all right, but this is the first time where the offensive line, it felt like they actually won the line of scrimmage. I mean, because, and I was surprised, to be totally honest, against that Bills defense and against that Bills front, that the Patriots offensive line looked as good as it did. Hell, even when Marshall Newhouse came in, things didn't go to complete hell, and I think most of us thought that it was going to, at least I did. The offensive line was the key on Saturday night, and that's another reason why I feel better about this Patriots offense. If they can turn things around and they can protect Brady, this thing's going to look different, and it did look different.
Yeah, I had them for, they allowed 20% pressure in this game, which was the lowest it's been in weeks. That was also their run stuff percentage, which indicates that the run blocking was better. I mean, you know, that's where a lot of things have gone. That's why I, you know, and I've been saying it all year, and Felger gets mad that I'm not ripping Brady here and there. Now, I did rip Brady for last week. I thought that his performance in the first half, I said the offense was better last week, and Brady held them back. Brady caught back up, but I thought Brady played, I had more issues with Brady's play last year than I did this year. I thought he's been fine all year. It's just, like you said, the blocking has not been good, and you couple that with the receivers and not having a guy like Gronkowski who's going to block in the edge, but also take coverage with him and make things a little bit easier for the passer. Just it's a hard job for Brady this season.
It's funny, the offensive line, I mean, let's face it, for most of the season, it's just been so inconsistent. Guys that you typically can count on, Marcus Cannon, Shaq Mason at times, you know, the center position, you know, Ted Karras has done good run blocking, but not maybe necessarily pass blocking. And then you've had, got, even when he got hurt, guys filling in that weren't doing great. And then the left tackle, you know, the issues have been there. But when that offensive line is, like, on the same page, like it has been the last two games, it's just totally different. I mean, Tom still had a few throwaways in this game, okay? Mm-hmm. But for the most part, he had, just like Greg said, really good protection in the running game. 35 rushing attempts to 33 passing attempts, I believe. They ran the ball more. That is the key to this offense, because this offense has to, if it's going to have success throwing the ball, has to rely on its play action game. Mm-hmm. And if you're not running the ball with any success, then you're not going to have success with the play action game. And with these receivers that maybe young receivers having trouble getting off the line or getting open initially early in the route, they need that play action to hold those guys to that split second so that those windows are a little bit bigger and more manageable for Tom Brady to get the ball into.
All right, you've heard from us. Let's hear from you. 617-779-0985. Matt McCarthy, Ted Johnson, Greg Bedard here with you on Christmas Eve. Jonathan in Boston, you're up first. Merry Christmas, Jonathan.
Merry Christmas to you, too. And I just want to ask, did the Patriots officially, quote-unquote, flip the switch? Are they in playoff mode, and can they sustain it?
All right, Jonathan, I think they can. It doesn't seem like Ted and Greg are totally convinced on this. I think they can. But here's the thing. My expectations are still tempered. I don't anticipate that they're going to go out and put up 35 points in the playoffs. That's just not how they're built to win. But can they put up 24 points in a playoff game? I think they're capable of that. I think they're capable of doing enough offensively to win in the playoffs.
Don't you have to see something in this Miami game? You know, a lot of people, it's Miami Dolphins.
Yeah.
It's a foregone conclusion. You know what? Okay, I get that. But, you know, when you want to rest guys, you don't want to get guys injured. Here's how I would approach it. I would approach it very similarly to how Bill approached my last regular season game in 2004. I believe it was against the San Francisco 49ers. Mm-hmm. We had everything wrapped up too by week 17 against the 49ers. He had the starters play for three full quarters. Yeah, even though we had a bye coming up, he played us three full quarters and a little bit maybe into the fourth quarter. But this team needs to, I mean, I think Bill needs to play the starters at least three quarters, continue what you built off of last Saturday. I need to see that same operation. It's the Miami Dolphins. They have nothing to play for. It's the last game. I don't care. It's, you know, the Patriots don't see it that way. They just, even if it's a glorified scrimmage, go out there, execute, just like you did against Buffalo, against this Miami Dolphins team, and then I'll feel a lot better about, okay, now they've built, you know, some consistency here going into the playoffs. I need to see what they did against the Buffalo Bills continue into this Miami game as well.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that one bit. 617-779-0985. Three up, three down coming up next. I want to see how many offensive linemen Greg Bedard has on the three up. I've been waiting for this all week, ever since I heard the big boy was coming in. I want to get Joe Tooney in here. I want to hear about all the interior trench play. We're going to hear about that next after we get an update from Brendan Glasheen. It's Felger and Maz on Christmas Eve. Matt McCarthy, Ted Johnson, and the big boy, Greg Bedard, hanging out with you until 6 o'clock today.
Felger and Maz.
Oh.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Now, it's time for three up.
Dives to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
Nice call.
And three down.
I don't even understand the call. You're trying to go vertical on third and four. I'd rather run him on a slant with his size.
With Greg Bedard of BostonSportsJournal.com. Three up.
And the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title.
Three down.
He sucks.
He blows.
Here on Felger and Maz.
No Felger, no Maz today. It's Matt McCarthy and Ted Johnson in for the guys. We've got Greg Bedard from Boston Sports Journal alongside. I've been looking forward to this for days because what a weekend for the big fellas. We get, you know, Patriots offensive line plays well. Defensive line seems to play well. We got a fat guy scoring touchdown for the Bills. I can't begin to imagine Greg salivating over creating his three up, three down list with all of
very
these,
jolly.
All of these options to pick from. Yeah, and we Santa Claus is coming tonight. You know, another big guy.
Gonna
put him right at the
boys.
Put him right at the top of this list. What a weekend. What a week for the big boys. And we've got all this stuff to eat. We're all gonna become big boys. It's what a week. All right. So, Greg, let's just start with you. We start with three up, right? Or is it Felger and Maz? Do we start with three down because it's so negative, this program generally?
I think it's three up.
All right. Yeah. Let's go three up. Hit me with your first one, Greg.
Now, I was tempted to go with all big boys because Felger's not here and I want his head to explode while he's listening to this, but I'll play it straight. Tom Brady. I mean, I thought he was terrific in this game. I had him for 12-plus plays, only one minus play in this game, and that was he completed the pass to Burkhead, but he had James White a little bit more open in the flat. That was the only qualm that I had with Brady in this game. And this is now, for me, you know, six straight quarters that he's played really good football, and hopefully it's a sign for things to come.
Yeah, I got my number one for three up is Josh McDaniels. I mean, Josh McDaniels, that was an excellent, excellent game plan. What you've seen a lot of times from the Patriots is their first opening drive, they scheme and they just can move down the field. You've seen it maybe in the first couple of drives. Mm-hmm. Throughout the season where they put together these really good opening drives or second drives. And then the teams figure it out and they don't, you know, they don't execute as well. Their scheme's not getting them as much. Or they bail on the running game. I mean, the Patriots are down into the third quarter, early fourth quarter, 4 points, and they were still running the ball. I like that. I mean, Josh McDaniels has, I think, a lot of times bailed from the running game a little bit too fast. And they didn't. So I give a lot of credit to Josh McDaniels for what I thought was just one of the more creative game plans you can see. The personnels, I mean, they ran out
two back sets.
So many different personnel groups. And I read some more. The Patriots have the second most personnel groupings behind the Saints. The Saints have 27 personnel groupings. I might have read it on Boston Sports Journal. 27 different personnel groupings they've ran this year. The Patriots are second with 19. And they really did just a lot of different personnel groupings, a lot of different formationing, and the execution was really, really well. So for me, it's Josh McDaniels.
I have no qualms with either of those. Your second up, guys.
Lawrence Guy. I thought he was tremendous. He dominated the second half of that game. I mean, he really shut down the interior of that line. You know, he tied for the team lead in quarterback pressures, led the team in three stuffed runs. He's just been vital, durable, everything to this group. He's been tremendous for this team.
Yeah, and I thought Devin Singletary coming in might be able to really, you know, I think hurt the Patriots a little bit. Man, I mean, he 15 carries just for 3.1 yards. I mean, Lawrence Guy had a lot to do with that. I like that, but I'm going to go with what your number one was. I mean, I don't know how you don't say Tom Brady wasn't you know one of the three up because he was incredible. Just the ball came out on time, in rhythm. Right where it needed to be. Just his accuracy was on. He was fully invested in that game. I think his first 9 passes were completions. So one of the best completion percentages he's had in years at 78%. So that's when this offense is at its best, when he's completing at a high clip. And so Tom Brady had, to me, one of his best games maybe since week one against the Steelers.
To the point you guys were making on Lawrence Guy, they've been better against the run in recent weeks, and they've improved there. I don't know if they're great against the run, but they've improved. And that's important, and that's noticeable. Your final ups?
Joe Tooney. Completely clean sheet.
I knew guys Joe been, Tooney was going to be man. In there.
I think he's the one guy that if I had to swap somebody into the Pro Bowl, it would have been him. I thought he should have been there instead of DeCastro, who I think from the Steelers, who was going on rep a little bit. Not that he's a bad player. I mean, Incognito is also good for the Raiders. He got left out, but Tooney should be in the Pro Bowl. He's one of the best in the conference this year.
What about all pro? Like, I mean, Pro Bowl is kind of just...
It's going to be Quentin Nelson and...
Yep.
The other guy.
Joe Tooney's been unreal. You know what? I was a little hesitant to put this guy in there, but because he did have a fumble. Rex Burkhead. So, Rex Burkhead, he was, I think, the leading receiver for this team. Yeah, well, he had 77 yards on four catches, all screens pretty much, but still, nonetheless... just ran really hard. That was a great run he had on the goal line. That linebacker came in and had a square shot on him, and he just bounced off of him and ran in. So Rex Burkhead, you know, I love this guy when he's not injured. When he's out there, he can make things happen. He ran really hard. So for me, it's Rex Burkhead.
Well, I think you see, you know, imagine how differently the game might go, because if he gets stopped on that, was it a second down run? Do they convert on third down, or are they kicking a field goal there? Like things might look different in this game if he doesn't break that tackle. That was huge. All right, the good stuff. Three down. Who we ripping this week?
Muhammad Sanu.
Oh, God, does he suck and blow? Well, take next rocket to the sun, put Muhammad Sanu on it. One-way trip. I'll fund it myself.
It wasn't only the fourth down play where, like, he's just – even if he blocks anybody, because there were two players there. He could have blocked the player to the inside and left the guy on the outside for Harry where he has to make a play. Whoever he thinks is most dangerous there, he needs to block him. What did he do? He didn't block anybody. Which is exactly what you don't want to do. And then he's also, I didn't like some of his routes in this game again. You know, if you want to watch somebody who is tremendous at route running, go put on Michael Thomas film from the Saints. He's not the biggest guy. He's not the fastest guy. Watch just the route that he caught to break the single season record. It was just a little, he faked the slant and then went to the out, but he got 4 yards of separation from Logan Ryan simply because of how good his route was. The Patriots don't have anybody like that outside of Edelman right now, and it's hurting the offense.
Yeah, it's clear. It's Muhammad Sanu for me, number one. I mean, he not only missed that fourth down and one block, but there was another block he missed on the edge where it was a 4 or 5 yard loss too. So just, I mean, he's a big dude, man, and he just kind of whiffed. So no excuse there. Not very effective in the passing game. You know, his punt returns 3 for an average of 5.7. And so he's either fair catching it or, you know, not getting a lot of yards on his punt return. So, you know, one of my theories, and this maybe isn't fair, and I'm not saying this is the case, but when you come in, you're being traded in the middle of the season, you come in, it's a new culture, maybe your role's not what it was in Atlanta, you're not treated like you were in Atlanta, you're just one of the guys here. You know, you wonder if he's fully invested, if his attitude is an issue. I hope that's not the case, but you're just trying to figure out why isn't he playing better and more effective.
Yeah, he sucks. He blows. That guy's awful.
Thank you, Tony.
He is. Thank you. Appreciate that, Tony. The sticks are the same, though, in Atlanta and New England, right. And he has no idea where they are. That's something he's – doesn't matter where they play. The sticks are the same, dude, and you don't know where they are. Second downs from you guys?
Now, from here on out – I had a tough time picking them.
Yep.
No one who I'm going to name here was bad in this game. I thought they could have been better. Landon Roberts at fullback. I actually didn't think he was that effective in this game, you know, when you really went back and looked at it. So he was my number two.
Yeah, he's no James Devlin, but he's you know, I'm curious about what his attitude is with that position. I'm wondering if he's not real happy about that role. He had 21 snaps at lead fullback, so... that's just a side note, but I have, and this is nitpicking, and I had this guy to me should have been in the Pro Bowl, but it's one play, but it's a big play, is Devin McCourty.
Yep. Big play.
You know, Stephon Gilmore had him man-to-man, but I think he felt like he had inside help with Devin McCourty as a single high safety, and Devin McCourty flat-footed it and just turned a hair too late and got beat deep. I think it was at Josh Brown.
John Brown.
So, to me, it was Devin McCourty. Look, it's nitpicking, but the Patriots have kind of defensively shown that they might be vulnerable to some big plays here and there. And so, Devin McCourty on that play to John Brown deep I thought was a bad read on his part. So I got him as one down.
Yeah, McCourty's on my down list, and not a Landon Roberts. So where do we have for the final ones here, guys?
I had Patrick Chung.
Yeah,
Chung, I mean, I didn't think he was bad, but like he just, and I know he's battling through some stuff, injury wise, but he just. And they're also playing him a lot of inside linebacker when they go to the 3-4, which is not exactly a strength for him. It looks like he's running on fumes at this point, and they're going to need him to be good in the biggest games if they're going to beat like the Ravens and the Chiefs.
I am stealing this from Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal because I read an excellent article that he had in there. I read it today about some of the defensive play calling. And whoever the defensive play signal caller is, I don't know who it is. Steven Belichick, Gerard Mayo, I have no idea. But some of the defensive play calling was a little bit questionable. A lot of man-to-man stuff and downs that you should have had played more zone, so you're facing the quarterback. I just thought there was some questionable defensive play calling. So whoever the defensive play caller was in that game, I got him down.
All right, let's get into that on the other side because I know Greg Bedard has a lot of thoughts on this defensive play call. Not a fan. Normally
just some key spots.
No, Greg Bedard, not a fan of the defensive play calling. I'm not being facetious or inaccurate.
Good job, Felger.
I'm not doing that. Greg Bedard does not like the defensive play calling. It's Matt McCarthy, Ted Johnson here for Felger and Mazel.
Felger and Mazel. Sports. Austin's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
Quite a turn of events after the Patriots are stopped in fourth and inches.
They're going to run it to the right
side.
Three
receivers, extends the hands, he takes it, he's looking right, he's dancing in the pocket, he lobs a throw, for he knocks the tight end, and he makes the catch, tumbling into the end zone, over Patrick Chung for a Buffalo touchdown.
I can't believe you let that bum make that throw.
A little harsh.
Yeah, so?
I don't disagree with that one bit. Josh Allen is a bum.
But he makes some throws,
make three or four throws a game.
Right?
And he misses five a game that say, oh, man.
It's very true.
But you see him make a couple plays a game where you're like, wow, this is tantalizing stuff, isn't it?
He does, man. He just is very inconsistent. His accuracy is an issue.
All right, it's Matt McCarthy and Ted Johnson in for Felger and Maz today, 617-779-0985. Why was that bum, Mason? Why was that bum allowed to make that throw? And apparently we have our answer from Greg Bedard, who, if I'm just to understand, wants every defensive coach fired on this team because of the play calling. Is that a fair assessment of what
totally,
you're saying, Greg?
Totally accurate.
All right, so you've got an issue with the defensive play calling.
Yeah,
that's a more fair assessment.
Yes, this is now three, in their last three real games, lost to the Chiefs, the Texans, and now this game. I do not count the Bengals, even though there might have been something I didn't like in that game, but I blocked that game out of my memory. Well, first of all, before we get into that, Ted, the big boy touchdown, was that Simon who's supposed to have? I mean, he was on the edge, and he's technically a tight end.
Yep.
But not Wise. Like, it looked like Simon got caught in between.
It looked like, even though Dietrich Wise is the one closest to the receiver, I can't imagine Dietrich Wise being responsible for that.
No.
It was John Simon that was lined up over the big guy, number 73. And, you look like there was a little bit of communication there between Dietrich and John right before that snap. And so my feeling is that was, I can't imagine there is a defense and where they want Dietrich Wise covering the tight end. Even though he wasn't officially a tight end, he was playing the tight end position. To me, that's all John Simon.
Okay, so as far as the play calling, let's go back first to which game came first, the Texans or the Chiefs game?
Texans game.
Okay, so I had an issue in that game with – so the Patriots are down 14-3. It's about midway through the third quarter. The Texans had their ball at their own 42-yard line. And at that point in the game, like, you're fine with the Texans maybe getting a few yards, kicking a field goal, and you're down now 17-3 with a whole fourth quarter left. You're fine with that. What you don't want there is a touchdown. And so what did they do on the next three plays? They called zero blitzes on the next three plays. So they gave up a 20-yarder to Kenny Stills, where you're putting Jonathan Jones in a terrible position. I'm sorry, but I think one of the hardest positions in football is playing bump man-to-man in the slot against anybody.
No question.
With a two-way go, I mean, I don't care how good you are, and I think we've talked about this before, where if you bat 50% doing that, you're elite in this league.
I totally agree.
And so they give up the 20-yarder to Kenny Stills. Then they give up the 35-yard touchdown to Will Fuller that gets overturned, or they rule incomplete, mm-hmm. where he drops it. And they go with the same play call again, and they get toasted again for a touchdown. So I didn't understand that at all. Because the last thing you want, now all of a sudden you're down 21-3. Game's over. Now, why are you being that aggressive there? So then in the Chiefs game, they had the 3rd and 19 play.
Oh, this drive was awful.
Where they're
this
playing is single high safety, man-to-man, and they let Tyreek Hill come in on an in-cut and convert the 3rd and 19. Then they also had a 2nd and 25 where they're playing single high safety, where if you play cover three or you have two deep safeties.
Let them catch the ball, come up, make
a
tackle.
They scored a touchdown on 2nd and 25.
Yeah.
And so in this game, what did I have issues with? I had issues with right before halftime. Yeah. So they failed on fourth down. Mm-hmm. Okay. The Bills get the ball back. Incomplete pass, I think, on first down. On second down, they play man-to-man, turn their back on Josh Allen, where even I, in the press box, am telling Michael Hurley next to me, they're one decent Jared Allen just run mm-hmm. away from almost being in field goal range. So they play man-to-man. I think they did have a spy. They had Jamie Collins, but the Bills blocked it nicely. Allen, no problem. An easy 16 yards. They're in business now. And they then on 1st and 10 from the 23, Beasley for 9 yards. They're in man-to-man again, where you just want to keep these guys in bounds.
Why are you giving
them the easy, just an easy out of bounds, stop the clock. And then the Dawson Knox play.
Patrick Chung,
yep.
coverage. Yep.
I mean,
yep.
Chung,
same
why?
Coverage, same high safety.
Why aren't you in more zone here?
So
you just want to hold them to a field goal. Why are you being so risky that you're giving up these? And then, so this is now 3 games where they've been doing this, where I think just play for the field goal. At worst, it's 10-6. Maybe you make a play. Maybe Josh Allen does a tip pass, something, you go the other way. Why risk touchdowns that cost you in 2 games? And now almost a third.
For most of this season, though, this defense that covers zero, the all-out blitz, where you have no safeties in the middle of the field, that trend started at the end of last year.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
After
yep.
the bye week, they decided that they were going to be more aggressive in their play calling, and it was very, very effective. And it's been effective for most of this season, mm-hmm. right up until they played better quarterbacks.
Right.
Better teams, right. better quarterbacks. They can they know where to go with the ball on the hot read. They can. You mentioned Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson. When the Patriots started doing that zero blitz, they were making them pay. And so
teams are ready for it now.
There's tons of film on the Patriots being aggressive in those situations, and so the offenses are more prepared now. And so you have to kind of start mixing up your coverages and not being so predictable on in those situations like the Patriots have been doing for most of the season. It's not working against these better quarterbacks.
So I've got a question for you, Ted, that you might be able to answer, having played under Bill Belichick. And I want to get into this on the other side. No commercials, just the headlines here. I also see a number of you waiting patiently. We will get to you in 90 seconds. But I do have a quick question for Ted Johnson about where this newfound aggression may have come from. And it's been good for the Patriots, but are they getting a little too aggressive, to Greg's point, on the defensive side of the ball? I want to ask you that question. 90 seconds, and we'll get to the calls as well. It's Matt McCarthy and Ted Johnson. We've got Greg Bedard alongside on this Christmas Eve in for Felger and Maz.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.